Let the church say amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Let us be thankful that God is good, because some of us are not. And it's because of His goodness that we are here. Thank God for God being good. This morning the scripture was read for your hearing from the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, starting at verses number 13 and going through verse number 18. This morning we're going to talk about the Lord's church. And I know some of you may say, well, we've talked about that before, but yeah, you're living in it, in the Lord's church, so you need to be refreshed on it every now and then. So we are going to be talking about it in a moment, but let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that You have given us the ability to be able to come out to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank You this morning, Father, for Your Son who brought us the church, who built the church, and gave unto us salvation, O Heavenly Father. We thank You that He died on yonder's cross, that we may have a right to the tree of life. We thank You this morning and pray for the congregation here. We pray for the leadership as well as the membership. We pray for their families. And we especially pray, O Lord, for strength for our sick, those who are on our sick list and those that are not on the list but are nevertheless sick. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, and ask You to be with us now as we move on into our services. Father, thank You for those who have taken part in the services thus far, and be with those who shall come from this point on. Father in heaven, we thank You that You are blessing us to be here today, and we thank You for everything You do for us, everything You have done for us, and everything that You may do for us in the future. Thank You for everything, Lord, and it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus. We continue to pray and ask all of these and many other blessings. Let us all say, amen. This morning, as I said, we're going to talk about the Lord's church. When we enter into the world of religion, there are many who claim to be in the true church. Yet when one takes a closer look, when we go back to the Word of God, if we are not following the words Jesus laid out for us, then how can we lay claim to be the church of the Bible? If one is not worshiping in the Bible-based, Bible-patterned church, you need to ask yourself, what am I doing here? Today's text speaks of the church, which is the church that Christ built. I believe we all, as I said, need a refresher course every now and then. And for those longer service members, it's a refresher course. But to the newer members, it's a reminder, something for them to be reassured that the decision that they made, the choice that they made, was the correct one. So let us see what the Bible teaches about the builder of the church. There's little doubt, according to the Word of God, of who was and who is the builder of the church. According to the text, when you look at verse number 18 of Matthew chapter 16, the Bible says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He said, upon this rock I will build my church. In today's terminology, when we speak today, we can sometimes simplify ownership. Let's say that you were going to build a recreation center. Now, this doesn't mean that you are going to have to physically lay every brick nor hammer every nail that goes into that building. It simply means instead you have set the guidelines or the specification for the organization that you're building it for. Jesus did this in verse number 18 when He said, upon this rock I will build my church. The church was not built upon Peter like some may want you to think. Instead, it was built upon the truth that Peter spoke. When we use the example of the rec center that I spoke of, doesn't it make sense that if you build this rec center, it should bear your name? Isn't that correct? You would anticipate that it would bear the name of the one who concepted the building, not the one who put every brick and every piece of mortar in the building. Since Christ is the builder, should it not have His name? Since there are many who would tell you that it really doesn't matter. We're all serving the same God. We're all going to the same place. We're all at least trying to go to the same thing. So it doesn't matter about the name. But I tell you what, I challenge you to misspeak their name and watch how quickly they'll correct you. You call them by any other name than theirs and they'll correct you. So doesn't it make sense that Jesus' church, the church that He built, should have His name on the church? I think so. So when these people who would say that it doesn't matter about the name, but yet they'll correct you. So if it doesn't make any difference, I'll ask this question. Why does the Bible refer to the Church of Christ and not by some other name? Oh, some would say in Acts chapter 20 around verse number 28 where the Bible says it speaks of the Church of God. Well, yes, it speaks of the Church of God, but when you read further, it says, which He purchased with His own blood. So who died on yonder's cross? Was it God the Father or God the Son, Jesus? It was Christ. I'll answer it for you. It was Jesus Christ. So if Jesus was the Lord and Jesus is our Lord and our Savior and the church was built from His blood, why isn't it the church? Why shouldn't it be the Church of Christ? The Church of Christ is the only blood-bought, Jesus-built, and heaven-bound church in the New Testament. And if you're going to follow the New Testament, you need to follow it with serving in the correct church, serving in the right church. And I know what a lot of folks will say, well, my grandmother always told me that the church she was going to, and she had been in it for 40 or 50 years, and she thought it was right. But there comes a point in time when sometimes old balloons or old faults are burst. And sometimes you have to teach them that it's not necessarily right because you've been there for 40 or 50 years. It's not necessarily right because you knew the preacher since you was a baby. It's not necessarily right because the preacher is the only preacher that you'll allow to preach to you. Well, I tell you something. If it's not the Church of Christ, it's not the one in the New Testament. If it's not the Church of Christ, it's not the one that Jesus built. Do you remember in Ephesians chapter 2 around verse 20 where it says Jesus is the chief cornerstone? This is why we are members of the Church of Christ. When we talk about building, every building has a foundation. Otherwise, it would not stand. When we consider the church, Jesus Himself is the chief cornerstone. His truth and His doctrines. It's where both Jew and Gentile can come together as believers. It's where we can all be believers in the one Lord, one church, one faith, one hope. It's in Jesus Christ. So if Jesus is the builder, if anybody who builds this building that I spoke of a minute ago, they should have a relationship with that building. Isn't that right? Now, and I don't mean a physical relationship with that building, but they ought to have something in common with the building that they're building. So since the Bible has established Christ as the builder and the foundation of the church, let's go further now and establish the relationship between Christ and His church. Go over, if you will, if you want to, take your Bible and look in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18, where the Bible says, He is the head of the body, the church. So when you think about it, if Christ is the head of the body, and the body is the church, who then needs to debate whose church it should be? The question becomes, how many bodies does Christ have? We all know that He has but one body, and since the one body is the church, it can have many members or many branches, if you will. Take, for instance, a tree. A tree has many branches. But if they're coming off that same tree, how many trees are there? It's just one tree, but many branches. So what I'm saying is simple. The Church of Christ can be here, it can be there, it can be everywhere, but it still should be the same Church of Christ. It still should follow the same doctrines that Jesus laid down. It still should have one name and one builder, and that is the church of Christ. So if the church has one body, that's his body is also the bride of Christ, according to Revelation 2:19. If the Bible says, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Isn't the Lamb Jesus Christ? Okay, well, if we've got one wife, one body, one Christ, and one wife, they're all the same church. They're none other than Christ. Least Christ be guilty of cheating on his wife if he has more than one. Now, that might be some man's dream. I don't know, but I tell you one thing. If Christ told us, told the husbands in Ephesians chapter 5, around about verse number 23, he said, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So if he gave himself for it, he's not going to suggest to any man that you give yourself unto another because you promised you would give yourself unto her. Isn't that right? And I know some of you have been married long enough to have forgotten the vows. Some of you have been married so long that you don't remember what happened in your vows. But nevertheless, it's one church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one hope. So when we look back and we continue to look in Matthew 16:18, when Christ said, I will build my church, we can be confident in knowing that he built only one. He has only one bride. We should be thankful that we are members of the only church called out in the New Testament. If it's not in the Bible, we should not be in it. If it's not in the Bible, we need to check ourselves. We need to consider the option. And the option is simple. The Church of Christ. Now, I know what some may be saying today. They may say, well, I've been going there so long that I know it must be all right because it's been standing for all of these years. Well, that don't mean anything. God waits till he gets ready to make a calling to call you home. But nevertheless, because you've been in it all those years, don't mean it's right. If we shouldn't be in it, we ought to make plans to get out of it. It may look and act like a church, but if it's not the Lord's church, if it cannot be found in the pages of the New Testament, you ought to think about leaving it behind. Now, there's some safety in the church as well. In verse number 18 again, it says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, if he said it, that's one, right? Prevail against it. So we're still talking about the one church. The church has and always will have those who are haters or fighters against the truth. They are seeking to bring it down. They fight against biblical truth. They fight against those who would stand up and speak the gospel. Jesus said, hell's gate shall not stand against his church. And the church is still standing today. Is it not? The church is stronger than ever, and the church shall continue to stand. This does not mean that Christians can't go wrong. Christians do go wrong. It does not mean that every time you talk to a Christian, he or she is going to be right about what they say. It does not mean that he or she will never commit any kind of sin, because we're all sinners. But I'll tell you one thing. Even when the members are wrong, the church is still the right church. So Christ made this promise to build his church. And he made that promise before he was crucified. And death did not stop that promise from coming about. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. The church that Jesus built shall never become a distant memory because its members die off. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 13, the Bible says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So because some members died in the church, doesn't mean the church is going to necessarily close down, shut the doors, lock it up, and be a memory of a distant memory. The church will go on. Thank God for the church that Jesus built. Thank God for the church that the members can stand and praise the Lord in. And if you're not a member, you need to ask yourself, why not? The Lord is not going to build another church. There was only one. There's not going to be another. There's not going to be another Bible written. Somebody may be standing around saying, I'll wait till he put a new church in the new Bible. Well, there's not going to be any new Bible. This is it. The Word of God has already been written. And some say, well, when I go to church, I like to hear some music with my song. Well, I'm going to tell you something about that. They say music, song, the words sound better when there's music to the words. But in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19, the Bible talks about singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. So the Word of God has not called for musical instruments in our worship service. All one has to do is open up their mouth and sing. Now somebody said, well, I can't sing. Well, he didn't say you have to be a musical genius. All he said was open up your mouth and sing. Make melody in your heart. Isn't that right, church? I tell you something. Music does sound good sometimes, but it's not fit to be in the church of Christ. That's why I tell you, when the church opens its doors on a Sunday morning, you ought to be standing there waiting to get in. I tell you, if it was a musical concert, that's what I'm trying to get out. If I told you we're going to have somebody that you know come in and perform in the church, the line may stretch around the block. But simply because I tell you we're going to talk about Christ, some folks say, I ain't coming today. I'm not going to be able to make it this day. But I tell you something, you ought to be making it every time the doors of the church open up. Isn't that right, church? So if you're not a member of the Lord's church, don't go on mama's record. Don't go on daddy's record. Don't go on anybody else's record, because their record won't work for you. I've got to stand all by myself when the judgment day comes. And somebody, as I always tell you, don't look for me on the judgment day, because I'm not going to be able. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to try to help you, because I'm going to be busy trying to help myself. I'm going to be pleading the case for myself. You see, I'm trying to help you now. I'm not going to be able to help you in judgment, because when I'm going to have to bend my own knees, because the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So I'm going to be confessing and bowing for myself. So when you think about it, church, the church of Christ must be the right church, because I find it, the promise of it in Matthew chapter 16, in verse number 18. But let's go up for a minute and look at verse number 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Saul Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I tell you something about him building that church. He had not died yet, but he was talking, he was giving a promise of what he was going to do. So when I look at this matter a little closer, and I think about the church of Christ, I think about how wonderful of an institution the church of Christ is. And his word is final. The church is here to stay until he comes back for it. So I ask the question again. Why aren't you a part of this one and only church that Christ built? The one and only church that Christ purchased with His own blood. And the one and only church that's found in the New Testament. It doesn't make any difference whether you be the only one in your family that's a member of the Lord's church or not. You see, if you get in the Lord's church, you may be able to get some of your relatives in the Lord's church. And if you get in, you can be the first. Like I see people all the time saying, especially young folks saying, I'm going to be the first one to ever go to college in my family. Well, that's a feat worthy in itself. But also, you might want to be the first one who's on your way to heaven. So you might want to consider getting your relatives to be follow you in that manner as well. But I tell you something. I like what Jesus said in 16 in verse number 18, where He said, upon this rock I will build my church. Yes, it is warm in here, Brother Jackson. I like what He said there. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I know there are some who say, well, it doesn't make any difference. And I say to them, if it doesn't make any difference, why don't you try the Church of Christ, since it doesn't make any difference? What have you got to lose if you become a member of the Church of Christ? If you are that one person in the family that tries the Church of Christ, you may be able to pull some of the rest of them in. Some don't trust the church. That simply means that some say, I don't trust the church, but all that means is I don't trust the Bible. If you don't trust the church and the church is in the Bible and you don't trust it, what are you saying? You're saying, I don't trust the Word of God. So when you think about it, if it doesn't make any difference, it doesn't make any difference as long as it's from the heart. That's what they say. That's what they say. I believe that I'm serving the Lord with all my heart. But how can you be serving the Lord if you're in the wrong church? And then there are those who would say, well, since I don't get to church that often, that means they don't go. If I don't get to church, since I don't get to church that often, it's not going to make any difference anyway. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it will. Because one day the Lord is coming back for His church. And when He comes back, you need to ask yourself the question, will you be in it? I don't mean necessarily physically sitting in it, but will you be in it? Will you be a member of the Lord's body? Oh, I'm so glad this morning that it does matter, because the Lord said, upon this rock I will build my church. That's why it should be the Lord's church. I don't own this church. If I tell you to come to my church, it's not really my church. I'm simply using a term of speech. If I tell you to come and hear me preach at my church, it's not my church. It's the Lord's church. And I want you to come to hear the Word of God. Not simply come to hear me. When you come to hear me, you might focus on me rather than the Word that I'm speaking, which is the Word of God. So what I want you to do this day, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, and as I kind of bring this on to a close now, if you are reading your Bible on a daily basis, I want you to consider Matthew 16 and verse number 18. I want you to consider the words of Christ. And oh yeah, these are the words of Christ. Because from verse number 13, there's part of something He said in verse number 13. When He asked the question, He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then He skips over to verse number 15. I'm just pointing out the words of Christ. He says, but whom say ye that I am? And then in verse number 17, He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then in verse number 18, He says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, I tell you something about the church. The church is right, folks. The church is all right with me, and it ought to be all right with you just as much. And when you get in and you become a member of the Lord's body, you can ask your family to become members of the Lord's body also. Or you can ask your friends down and neighbors down the street if they would consider becoming a member of the Lord's church. And they're going to ask you why. And what you're going to have to be able to explain to them is that that's the only church that's in the New Testament. You're going to have to be able to explain to them that one day you're going to be stretched out here in a casket and somebody's going to roll you in and carry you out also. You're going to need the Lord one day. And if you're standing a guilty distance from God's throne, how are you going to call upon the Lord when you really need Him? Church, I tell you something, there's nothing like the Church of Christ. There's no other institution like it because there's none other that can claim they are Jesus built and blood purchased and heaven bound. Isn't that right, church? So I tell you, when it comes to the church, you need to make sure that you're in the right one. And the right one is not the one that makes you feel good. It's not the right one that I feel real good when I go to the church. And it's not the one that you say, well, I've been going there because my parents go there and they've been there all these years. It's the one that's in the Bible, not the one that's in your mind. So when you think about it, as I come on to a close now, I need to just ask you one question. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, why not? If not, why not? And if you are a member of the church, have you been living faithfully? Have you been obeying the commandments? Now, I know that all of us have our ups and our downs, from the preacher back to the back door. We all can fall. We all do fall. Some of us just don't want to admit it. But we all fall. And when we fall, you know what the bad part about falling is? Not being able to get up. But I thank God that He has allowed us a way to get up and to call upon His name when we fall. And I don't mean a physical fall. I mean a spiritual fall. So when I look at this matter a little closer, and I know my time is rapidly drawing to a close, but I tell you about the Church of Christ again. If God had not built the church, I ask myself the question sometimes. If God had not built the church, what church would I be in today? And since God has built the Church of Christ, I don't have to consider the alternative. All I need to do is just become a member of the Lord's body. And become a member of the Lord's church. And so once again, the question is for you to ponder within your own mind and your own heart. Why aren't you a member of the Lord's church? And so then you may ask yourself, well, what do I need to do to become a member? Well, you need to hear the gospel, believe it, repent, confess, and then be baptized. What a lovely day it is to be baptized. It's warm. It may be your last opportunity to be baptized. That's even more important. But this is the Lord's day. This is the day that Brother Jackson will take you down in the water, if you so desire. But to those who have been members for a long time and they just walked astray, walking astray is not so hard to do in these times and these ages. You're driving down the street, somebody cut you off, and oops, you said something there. Or you're sitting at your house, and the phone ring, and the person on the other end wants to sell you this or that. And you say to yourself, I don't want this, and you become belligerent with them. Why are you calling me now? If you just walked astray any kind of way, you have an opportunity to go to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you of your shortcomings, strengthen you up, and then you come before the church. You know, this is a long bench. We can accommodate quite a few up here if you'd like to come. You come forward, ask the church to pray for you, that your life may change and that you may grow stronger and become a better servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this is the only place where you can find him in the church at. Now, I'm not saying he's nowhere else. I'm saying this is the only church where you can find him at. Because this is his church. Why would he build this church and go somewhere else? So ask yourself the question, am I in the right church? As we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Hymn number 20.